Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. You can like. If you don't want to prosper, you should just turn the TV off. Pastor George is back, and he's going to be talking to us about how to live in the increase and how to prosper and how to get our return.
Gloria,
I'm excited, George.
I'm excited to be on here with you as well. Of course, I've got my notes, but I always like to hear what Gloria's going to say, because it really is, it's so good. Gloria, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
it
George.
It is 2019.
That sounds like science fiction.
It really does, doesn't it?
It's going to be our best year ever.
It is, and this is your 52nd year of ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And it's
you survived.
And it's also, we started taping together almost 10 years ago. This is our ninth year.
Is that right?
Of taping broadcasts together. And I told you way back then when we started out.
My goodness.
I said, Gloria, you can't exhaust the subject of prosperity. And you said, well, let's try.
And we're still working.
Here we are. This is day 331. We have 331 prosperity broadcasts that
Praise
we've done.
God, that's a...
And yes. Listen to this. 1,323,325 outlines have been downloaded
Praise
of the
God.
Prosperity broadcast.
Now, isn't that exciting?
It really is.
Praise
that people
God.
Have been so interested in prospering. I am. I know you are.
Yes, amen.
And I know that everybody that's watching us right now is interested in coming up to a higher level, a higher place of living in prosperity.
Yes, amen.
And I have a testimony before we get into our teaching today, Gloria. I've got a testimony I want to read to you. And this woman writes, she said, I've been watching your programs every morning at 8 o'clock for the past year. She said, when you and Gloria are on, it's like a flame ignites in my
Ooh,
soul.
Oh, I like
That's
it.
That's really good.
Amen.
She went on to say, I did not have an easy life. I've been a single mom of one abandoned by the father 12 years ago. Things got really bad at the end of 2017. The bank wanted to repo my car. I did not have finances to pay for anything. So as January came, you had another prosperity program started. And oh my soul, did that change my life.
Hallelujah.
Finances came pouring in, and glory to God, my life has changed.
Isn't that exciting?
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
So we want your testimonies.
Yes.
Gloria and I want to read these testimonies on the broadcast because they're an encouragement to us.
That is so exciting, George.
It is. It's very exciting.
That makes it all
so,
worthwhile.
Again, it's just a thrill to be on here with you. I get so excited when I get to be with Gloria.
We preach to ourselves.
We really do. And we've known each other now. This is our 43rd year, Gloria, that I've been associated with this ministry.
I can hardly believe I'm that old, George.
And we start, like we said before the broadcast, we started really young.
Yeah, that's right.
But our youth is renewed like the eagles.
That's right.
And with long life does He satisfy us and show us His salvation.
Amen.
And I just want to say how much I appreciate you and how much you have so enriched my life.
That blessing.
I have been a student of yours for all of these years, just listening to your teaching. And I have to tell you this, that when I, for instance, on this series that we're doing together, and it's called Tithers' Rights.
I like that.
Tithers' Rights. And on this series, I had information from Gloria. I had information from Brother Copeland. I also pulled some great information from Pastor Bill Winston about tithing. And as I shared with you before we started on the broadcast, it has been so exciting to prepare these notes.
Ooh, I'm
and I have so many
it.
Gloria quotes in here that it just tickles me the great things that you say. And so today, as we begin this teaching, Gloria, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for investing and imparting into my life. And I look at our family and I see the importance that you and Kenneth have made,
Praise
the
God.
Impact that you have made on our children, our children's children,
yes,
your great-grandchildren.
Generation after generation.
And those grandchildren, those great-grandchildren, they're preaching the Word.
They don't know anything else.
They have been taught and trained in the Word
it's
of
exciting.
God.
It's exciting. Praise
and
the Lord.
Little Justice, Jeremy and Sarah's 8-year-old, he is just an amazing young man. He gets things in the Spirit all the time.
He does.
Well, I heard from the Lord about this, and I think we should do that. And Jeremy and Sarah will look at each other like,
Wow.
That is so good. I'd like to have some examples of what he hears.
He does. He hears from the Lord and gets information about where to go and homes to believe for, and it's amazing.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
Isn't that something?
8 years old. So all of them are like that. All of them are walking in this. And we really do have the Lord and you and Kenneth to thank for the impartation that you've made into our lives. So Gloria, thank you.
Thank you, George.
And you've enjoy coming here and doing this, because I look forward to what Gloria's going to say. This is so good. So on page one of your notes, you should have your notes over there somewhere. There you go. We're talking about tithing, Gloria, and we're talking about, and I wanted to begin today at the foundation of tithing. You've taught on this, and what I've done here on our outlines, we have all of our scriptures written out. We've got our Bibles with us, but I thought it would be easier for us to be able
That'll
to read
great.
Through our scriptures. So when we're talking about prosperity, you know, and talking about spiritual promotion and growth, money is the first step in being faithful with the money that we've been given. And let's look at this scripture here in Luke 16 and starting with verse 10. Why don't you read verse 10? We'll go back and forth on these scriptures.
Oh, it's all written out here.
Yep,
right?
It's all written.
He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we read that, we shouldn't think about somebody else. We should think about what are we doing? Yeah, are we being faithful in the little?
Yep.
Somebody might say, well, I just have a little. Well, if you'll be faithful, you'll have more.
That's so true.
Praise God. Amen.
Well, verse 11, Gloria, and all this is the Amplified Classic version of this. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches?
Oh, that's
what
powerful.
A principle that is.
Yeah, that's right.
So read verse 12.
And if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, that'd be your tithe if it were God, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches.
I really like what the scripture says in the Amplified. If you've not proved yourself faithful in that which belongs to another, whether it's God's or man's. Now, where man is concerned, I think about it working here for all of these years. And I have endeavored to be faithful in what belonged to another. This ministry is titled Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And so I've been working here and endeavoring to be faithful with what belongs
to them. You almost grew up here.
I really did. I did grow up here. And what I have, all of these years working here, what my goal has been to take care of what belongs to you. You have entrusted into me leadership over this ministry.
And
so
you've
I
been
take
faithful.
It. I take that very, very seriously.
Thank you, John.
And I've taken it very seriously from day one.
Yes.
Well, that's what we have to do.
What was your first job?
My first job, actually, my very first job when I came in was I walked into the office that day and they were stuffing a brochure into an envelope with a cassette in it. And it was the very first time that you received partners, and you were receiving partners to help us go on radio.
So you've been here a long time,
and that was my first job. And it was the brochure where Brother Copeland wrote in there, he's heard from the Lord, Jesus is coming soon. He said, take this uncompromised message of faith and preach it from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around on every available voice.
Praise God.
And look where we are, 42 years later, look where we are. Well, I've endeavored
around
to be faithful to what belongs to another. But listen to what it says here. Be faithful to that which belongs to another, whether it's God or man. And so I wrote this statement down here in number 4, Gloria. The handling of someone else's money is the testing ground and the basic qualifier for kingdom promotion and being entrusted with true riches.
Hmm.
That's the basic. That's the test.
That's right.
Money is the test.
That's the truth.
We have to pass the money test first.
Mm-hmm.
Because the root, money is the root The love of money is the root of all evil. So you have to pass the
test. A lot of people leave the love of
the love of
money
it all.
Off.
Yeah, it's the love of money.
Money's
not
the love of
the love of money is the root of all evil. So point five here, this all begins with the proper handling of what belongs to God.
The tithe.
The tithe. It's the tithe.
Tithers' rights. Hallelujah.
Tithers' rights.
George.
So I answer the question here in our next section, Leviticus 27:30. What belongs to God? And if we look at verse 30 in Leviticus 27, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." So the tithe belongs to God.
And you better treat it that way.
We better treat it that way.
That's right.
The New Living Translation says, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy."
Separated.
Separated. Mm-hmm. That's what that word holy means. It means separated to Him.
Sanctified.
And, you know, Terry and I have been tithing. We tithed before we got married. And then when we got married, we tithed together. So everything, and we've endeavored to do this over all of these years. We'll be married. This is our 42nd year of marriage. And over all of those years, we have tithed on everything, or at least have tried to tithe on everything that came into our household. And it's funny, on Sunday mornings, when we're driving into church and we're bringing the tithe, I actually have an envelope that we have the tithe in it. We pray over the tithe. On the way to church, we're praying over that tithe. And just like it says in Deuteronomy 26, you're to take the hallowed things away from your house. So I'm literally taking the hallowed thing.
The tithe.
The tithe.
That means separated.
Separated.
Separated to God. The part that's separated to God.
Exactly. The part that's separated to Him. And we're taking the tithe, all the tithe from our house. We're not going to spend it on anything of the house. We're going to take it to the storehouse so there's meat in my house, saith the Lord.
Praise God. That's
and I know
it.
That Kenneth, you and Kenneth do the same thing.
Amen.
Well, I wrote down here, first things first, we must be faithful
that
with the tithe.
That is the truth. That's the truth.
We must be faithful with the tithe.
That is the first
And that's
thing.
What we're talking about during these broadcasts.
If you're not faithful with the tithe, then you're misusing God's money.
If you're not faithful with the tithe.
That belongs to Him. The tithe belongs to Him.
You're misusing.
Yeah.
Misusing.
Not just yours. It's God's.
Wow.
I just got that.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's what I look for. Hot off the press. You're misusing if you're not giving the tithe. And the tithe, very simply, is the 10%.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the 10%.
If you're not faithful with the tithe, if the 10%, you're misusing God's money. It's not your money anymore. It's His. The tithe belongs to God, is what I'm trying to
that's
say.
That's right. And as we talk further in these broadcasts about it, the Lord just really turns around with that tithe and spends it on our spiritual benefit.
Oh, yeah.
It's an investment that it's His, but He takes that and uses it for our spiritual growth and development.
Well, just think about where would we be if nobody had tithed? I'm talking about today.
Well,
Where would we be?
Where would we be?
There wouldn't be a church.
Yeah, that's right.
There wouldn't be any good preaching going around.
That's right.
There wouldn't be any television preachers.
Gloria, that's it. That really is funding.
God takes that tithe and He spends it on getting
us whole. That's
spirit,
so,
soul, body, financially.
That is so clear.
Yeah.
That is so clear. He takes it and He spends it on our spiritual benefit so that we can do things like this.
That's right.
To get the Word of God out there.
Preach the Word of God
out there.
All over the world.
For the church, for our church here to be able to operate as it does, I'm so thankful that I don't have to go out and get another job.
We're glad you don't,
too. To be able to, because I can take the time that it takes for any pastor to prepare the meal that people are going to receive on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever.
That's right.
Well,
I just don't want you taking another job, George.
No, I won't.
This is the only job you need.
This is the only one. And it keeps me busy full time. And I love it. I love what I do.
You do good.
Well, I have a couple of quotes here. First of all, this point two on letter B, This is from Brother Copeland, and he has a Word of Faith study Bible. It is tremendous. And there are so many side notes that he has to his Bible. And I looked up in his Bible, Malachi 3, and one of the things that he wrote in there is, tithing lays the foundation for financial success and abundance.
That's right.
It's the beginning.
That's right.
It's the beginning of prospering. It is the start of prosperity. To tithe.
Whether you have a job or whether you got a business of your own.
Right, right.
It's the same thing.
It's the exact same
thing. Or whether you
thing.
Have nothing.
Right.
If you find a nickel, tithe it.
Tithe on that nickel.
That's right.
Yes. And
so,
then,
or just be extravagant and sow the whole nickel.
There you go.
Call it your tithe.
Well, that's true. And you and Kenneth, you've been tithing. And I have a quote here in just a moment on the next page. I'll read it to you in a minute. But it's a quote that you gave in something that you wrote about the early days of tithing for Kenneth and Gloria. But number three here, there's a book that you wrote called Hidden Treasures. And it's a book on, it really is a commentary on the book of Proverbs. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you, George.
And I had that book out some months ago. And I was just flipping through the book. And you know, sometimes a page will just open to a place and you look down. And there you wrote about tithing. You wrote a whole section about tithing based on Proverbs chapter 3 about the tithe. And we'll be quoting you in this book as we go on. This book is available at kcm.org. It's a wonderful book on Proverbs that Gloria wrote. She actually, you'll remember this.
I'll read it again.
It's a great book, Gloria. And you actually taught it to our staff. I remember we had a series of chapels that you came in and taught on the book of Proverbs.
I don't even remember.
And we took the transcripts from that and produced the book.
Praise
but
God.
Listen to this quote that you have. You will never increase supernaturally nor grow financially until you tithe.
No, you won't.
That is a powerful statement, Gloria. It's powerful. You will never increase supernaturally or grow financially until you tithe.
You might grow financially, but then, what is it? The root of all evil?
Yeah,
love of money.
The love of money.
So there you're all messed up.
It won't do you any good. Mm-mm. But you really could actually take this quote, turn it around. If you tithe, you will increase supernaturally, and you will grow financially.
That's right.
I believe, Gloria, that because of the...
That's what we've lived, we've experienced that, you have. Everybody that's tithed will and walks in faith will experience
it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And tithing is so important. It is so crucial. And let me give you a quote.
Okay.
They just gave me the 4-minute mark here. My goodness, this goes so quickly.
We're busy. Okay.
So Bill Winston wrote a book, and he has a CD series that I would recommend people ordering called The Power of the Tithe. And I listened to that and I studied that, but listen to this quote. A tithe does not become a tithe when we give it. It becomes a tithe when we get it. The moment we receive our paycheck or any other income, it becomes a tithe. Not when we bring it in the house of God. It becomes a tithe the moment it comes into our hands.
It is a tithe.
It is a tithe.
It is nothing but a tithe.
It is, right? Absolutely.
And you better treat it like a tithe.
Yes.
Set it in short. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. It is. Whenever,
treat it like a tithe.
Whenever Terry and I receive finances, the tithe is right there. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that tithe? Are you going to be faithful with what belongs to God, or are you going to spend God's money on something else? Well, no.
The question is, do you want to be blessed and increase, or do you want to decrease?
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly.
That's what happens when you eat your tithe.
Do you want to be blessed and
increase?
Yeah. You don't want to eat your tithe. Exactly. And I just so enjoy this quote from Bill Winston. He said, you can't. The way I put it down here, I cleaned up the English in it, but I'll read it to you the way he said it.
Okay.
You can't buy no stereo with the tithe. You can't buy no stereo.
That's
what
right.
he said. You can't buy
that
no stereo.
That kind of drives the point home.
You can't go out and buy no stereo with the
That's
tithe.
Right.
He
That's
said,
right.
the man will sell it to you, but the devil just watched the transaction.
He thought, I got a place.
See, that's where the devourer gets in.
That is, and he's a dirty rat fink, the devil is. I'm telling
you. He is a dirty rat.
He doesn't play fair. You just can't give him anything to work with.
No, that's right. That's right.
I've never said that before, but I believe
that's
it.
That's good. Glory. Go to the second page really quick. I think we've got, 3 minutes left or so? Two minutes. Thank you. Let me read this quote from Gloria Copeland on that second page. At the top of the page, this is a document that we're actually including with all these notes, so you'll get this. When you begin to desire to walk in God's prosperity, it is imperative that you start out on the first step of tithing. That is the foundation of prosperity. I can remember when we knew it was right to tithe, but we were so broke, we just didn't do it very well.
That's right.
We would tithe.
We didn't see how the Lord could get along on it.
We would tithe a few times, and then we would let it get behind. Then we would try to catch up. As long as we did that, we never enjoyed prosperity. But when we made a determination to tithe because it was in the Word, then we walked in the blessings of God. Tithing is the foundation to prosperity.
That's right.
I quote Gloria Copeland.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
So we have 1 minute left. 1 minute. So here's what I'm going to do, Gloria.
So, you know, some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Truth is, you can't afford not to
tithe. Oh, come on. We just got us a quote right there.
There you are.
That where you people say, I can't afford to tithe.
But
you,
the truth is, you can't afford not to tithe.
We will include that in our notes.
Okay.
Praise God. What we're talking about this week, Gloria, is tithers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
Tithers' rights. The Lord just really has me stirred up about the tithe and how exciting it is to be a tither. And yesterday on the broadcast, if you look there at the top of the page, we read Luke 16:12, and it says, if you've not proved yourself faithful in that which belongs to another. Yeah, that should be 16.
Is it 16?
It is 16.
Okay.
We will make that correction. Thank you. Very good. Good catch, Gloria.
See, I'm paying attention.
You really are. if you've not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches. So we talked yesterday, Gloria, about the fact that handling of someone else's money is the testing ground or the basic qualifier for kingdom promotion and being entrusted with true riches. And this all begins with the proper handling of what belongs to God. And what belongs to God? The tithe.
Yeah.
The tithe. In Leviticus 27:30, in the New Living Translation, it says, 1/10 of the produce of the land belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy.
Separated.
We separate that for Him. So here's a quote that we quoted from you yesterday, Gloria. Tithing is the foundation to prosperity.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
It's the very beginning of prosperity. And we talked yesterday about really laying
a supernatural prosperity.
Yes,
I mean, you could rob a bank, but you're not going to prosper. In the long run, you won't like prison.
No, it is. And it opens the windows of heaven that pours out the blessing on our lives. It protects our seed that's in the ground. It does so much. The tithe does so much. And it really begins with a quality decision to be a tither.
Yeah.
And the tither is simply taking the 10%, and that's what the tithe is, the 10% and giving back to God what belongs to Him so He can reinvest that into your benefit so that
Amen.
You can benefit spiritually
Amen.
From it.
Amen. You know, when we started tithing, we were minus.
You
can't afford to tithe. Look at that. We don't have any money. We don't have any extra. Nothing left over.
No extra.
but we saw it in the Word and we said, we're going to tithe.
Yeah.
We're going to do that first. And that's the key.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
You don't wait till you think you can afford it.
No,
you'll
you
never
do it.
Get there.
Well, you and Kenneth learned this from Brother Hagin, that whatever you see in the Word, you're going to adapt that to your lifestyle.
That's right.
And you're going to be obedient to that.
That's right. Thank God.
That is such a powerful statement that you made. And when you learned about the tithe, you just began to do it. Mm-hmm. So you take the 10% and you give that back to God. You put it into the storehouse so that there's meat in my house. So that brings us to...
You sow it back into the kingdom.
You sow it back into the kingdom. So let's look here. If you look at point B, I call this the tither's bill of rights.
I like that.
The tither's bill of rights.
That's good.
This is Malachi 3. And why don't we read these? You'll read one scripture, I'll read the other. But why don't you start with verse 8?
Will a man rob God or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? And here's the answer. You have withheld your tithes and offerings.
Offerings. That's how you do it.
You've withheld. You've robbed God.
Yeah.
And there's no blessing in robbing God.
No, there is not. No. And there's a quote of yours that will be coming soon in the broadcast. But I guess I got tickled when I looked at it the other day. You had written, I don't want to be a God robber.
That's right. That's,
I don't want to be a God robber.
Sounds like me. I don't remember it, but it sounds like me.
And that's what these priests were doing. They were offering up sick sacrifices. They were offering up. They weren't giving God the best.
Yeah.
They weren't giving God what was off the top.
The leftovers.
That's a good way.
I'm telling you. Here's a secret. If you think you can give God the leftovers, you won't even have any leftovers.
That's a quote.
That's right.
You won't have any leftovers.
Mm-mm.
Well, Gloria, then it says in verse 9 in the Amplified, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the position that a person is in when they're not tithing. They open the door for the curse to come. And we don't want that. That's not what we want.
No. Uh-uh.
So go ahead and read verse 10.
Verse 10. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income. The whole tenth of your income.
The whole tenth of your income.
Into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Wow.
Okay, here's a man that's not giving God his small part of his life's income, and it's costing him everything.
Oh.
It's too expensive not to tithe, George. And it's too blessed to not tithe.
We're going to go back and get every word you just said.
Okay.
And put it
I'll
into
give
this.
It.
That's so powerful,
Gloria.
It's
awesome.
You can't afford not to tithe.
No, and when we started tithing, we didn't have any extra money. We just could hardly pay the rent on what we had, you know. It didn't look like we could afford to tithe. But we saw it in the Word, and by that time, we had heard enough to know that's what we needed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has worked out well for us.
It has worked out very well for you and for us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I wrote down there, tither's right number one is provision. That's what verse 10 is talking about.
Yeah.
It's provision.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer, the insects and plagues for your sakes. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes, amen.
And I wrote down there, tither's right number two is protection.
That's good, George.
Everything, there is a protection plan that's attached to the tithe.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Everything that we have is protected. Our finances, our home, our goods.
And I think you could say there's a curse plan connected to not tithing.
Yes, there is.
God's not doing
it. Yes, there is.
You're doing it. God's not... punishing you, you just haven't done what it takes to be blessed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. And this last one here in verse 12, and all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And that's tithers right number three. I call that promotion. That's promotion.
Praise God.
Now, go to the second page, Gloria, and I have to laugh because they've given us 10 minutes.
four times.
And I think I overdid it on this broadcast because there's so much to tell. But I call this the tither's top 10. So okay. Let's do this, Gloria.
All right.
You do the first one, I'll do the second one, and that's how we'll go through this together.
Well, it starts with the tithe. It's the top 10% of our gross income.
Yes.
And
okay.
Sometimes your income is really gross.
Yep.
And that's when you really need the tithe.
That's right.
That wasn't in the notes. I threw
that's
that in.
Exactly right.
The tithe belongs to God.
Yes, it
Matthew
does.
Matthew 22:21.
Yep.
Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's.
That's right. And what belongs to God? The tithe.
That's right.
The tithe
That's
does.
Right.
Number three, we present our tithes to Jesus. In Deuteronomy 26:3 in the Amplified, and you shall go to the priest who is in office in those days. And Hebrews 7:8 says, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he or Jesus receives
yes.
them, of whom it is witness that he lives.
Let me say something there.
Yeah, please.
Jesus is the priest who's in office in these days.
That's it.
He is the high priest.
That's it. He's the
we
high priest.
We bring our tithe to the yep. high priest.
Yep. Read number four, Gloria.
Number four, we give our tithes in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder, a rewarder of them that diligently
mm-hmm.
seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith it's impossible to please God, because
right.
without faith you're not eligible.
Yeah, that's right.
Without faith, tithing in faith, you're not eligible to receive the blessing.
Oh, that's a good statement.
What does it say instead? You receive the curse.
Yeah.
Those out from under the covenant.
Gloria. Well, this
we got
next...
it. We got it made if we'll just do it.
Let me read this point B here, Gloria, because this is yours.
Okay.
This is a quote from Gloria. Don't just tithe, tithe in faith. Do it believing that when you tithe, God rebukes the devourer for your sake.
Yes, that's right.
Tithe, believing God's promise that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't have room to receive it.
Hallelujah.
So we tithe in faith.
Yes.
Number five, it says we tithe our tithes with our words.
Mm-hmm.
The tithe is something that we give. Tithing is something that we say. Deuteronomy 26:3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say to him. And then in Hebrews 3:1, it says, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we tithe the tithe by speaking over it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that later on.
We say what we're supposed to say over
yes,
the
Yes, we say what we're and supposed
we
to say.
And we say it with our heart.
Yes,
not
we do.
Just a... you know, just something you do.
Mechanical. It's not mechanical.
No, but we're tithing with our heart.
Yep. Read number six, Gloria.
Tithing protects the remaining 90% of our income. That's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 3:11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground.
That's right.
If you're not a tither, I guarantee you, you can look back in your life and you can see where your fruit was destroyed, where your situation
That's
didn't
right.
work out,
That's
where
right.
your job didn't come to full fruition, where
mm-hmm.
you weren't able to do what you intended to do.
Yep.
That's what happens to people
That's
that don't tithe.
Yeah.
What's missing? That's... the blessing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It says, give God what is mm-hmm. his, and he will protect
that's
what is yours.
That's a great way to say it.
And then this next quote from Gloria, as you honor God with the 10% that belongs to him, he'll get involved with the rest.
That's right.
The other 90% will go further than ever before because you've gotten the supernatural power of God involved
that's
in
exactly
your finances.
Right.
And I quote Gloria Copeland right there.
We
that's,
experience
that's good.
That
that's
in
good.
Early days.
Go ahead and read number seven, Gloria.
Okay, Malachi 3:10 in the New Living Translation. Try it. Well, I forgot the first line.
Yeah.
Tithing is the only place where God says, prove me.
Prove me.
Malachi 3:10 says, try it. Let me prove it to you. That's what the New Living says. Try it. Let me prove it to you.
Let me prove it to you.
Now, you know, if you just had half cents and you're not a tither... You would try it and let God prove it to you.
Exactly.
Test me in this and see if I don't open up the window up heaven itself to you and pour you out blessings beyond your wildest dream. Glory to God.
That's the Message translation there. Test me in this.
Tithing is our covenant connection.
Yep.
That is very true. In just a few short words, tithing is our covenant connection financially.
Yes, yes.
Ken and I never gained anything.
That's right.
Until we started tithing. And when we started tithing, we thought God and us both couldn't live on it. We didn't have any money. I mean, we were scratching the bottom. We were on the bottom.
Yeah.
And we said, we're going to do it. And it was just a little dab of money. I don't know, you know, because we didn't have any money. We weren't getting any money.
Right,
we weren't even on a salary as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
So tithing is our covenant connection. Glory to
God. And I'll read this next one here because it's a quote from your Bible.
Okay.
Your handwritten quote from Gloria's Bible. Refusing to tithe disconnects you from the covenant of blessing.
That's right.
Isn't that powerful?
I believe that. I absolutely believe it.
And then in Joshua,
on the positive, it connects you to the blessing.
It connects you to the blessing, yes. In Joshua 6, chapters 6 through 8, Achan hid the tithe in his tent. Because of that, Israel was defeated at Ai. Achan confessed, and Ai was defeated. So you see there how... The result of not tithing.
Yeah.
If you go to your last page there, Gloria... and we're actually going to get this right on the nick of time.
Oh, go for it, George.
Number 9, God reinvests our tithe for our spiritual benefit.
God reinvests
our tithe for our spiritual benefit. And Brother Copeland in his Word of Faith Study Bible says, when you tithe, God is giving you 90% and receiving just 10% for His work in the earth to provide ministry for you.
That's right.
For us.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, you can never outgive God.
No.
He always gives back His 10% to see to it that you are perfected, equipped, and edified.
Amen.
So when I heard this first spoken by you and Kenneth, that God reinvests it.
That's a good thought, isn't it?
For our benefit.
Mm-hmm. He spends it on our spiritual growth.
He spends it on our
spiritual
growth.
Yeah,
exactly.
On the preacher that's preaching to you. Raising up a preacher to preach you the word of faith, for instance. Did you know there hadn't always been people preaching the word of faith?
That's true.
But that's our day, glory to God.
Yes, it's
God
being
raised
preached.
Up a multitude
it's being
of witnesses.
Being done. Absolutely. Then, read number 10 there, Gloria.
Did we read, you can never outgive God?
Oh, yeah. You can never outgive God. He always gives back His 10% to see to it that you are perfected, equipped, and edified.
That's right.
And how are we perfected and equipped and edified? But by the preaching of the Word.
That's right.
We are edified by the fivefold ministry office.
And that's where our tithe goes.
That's where it goes.
To the church, to the minister, to whoever's preaching to you.
Wherever you're being fed. And I wrote this in one of the later broadcasts that the tithe goes when you are being rooted, where you are being rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God.
Amen.
So read number 10. We made it through 10. Look at this.
Hey, tithing is the open door to the blessing that God set forth that is going to meet your needs, give you what you need, bless you, and keep you well and prosperous.
That's right.
Tithing is a good deal, George.
It is a good deal.
Glory to God.
It's a very good deal.
It's got a great return on it.
One of the things about tithing, Gloria.
It gets God interested in moving in your finances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This part about rebuking the devourer, it is so important. It is our protection. And what I want to do right now is show a testimony from Dr. Mark Barclay. And this testimony was given in 2015. And he talked about when his granddaughter drowned.
Yes, I remember that.
When his granddaughter drowned. And we were all sitting there watching this, listening to him talk about this. And the thing that I want the people to see in this testimony is what his son-in-law said at the pool that day about being a tither. And it just, every time I see it, Gloria, it just gets to me. And I know it's just proof positive of why we must be tithers. Glory and I will be right back with you.
This summer, one of my little granddaughters drowned in the pool. Just a little squirt. And they were fooling around with a side vent. And she has long hair, and she didn't do it right for the pool, and it sucked her into the side vent. Her daddy was there, and her mom was there, and some other kids and such. And it drew her right against the pool, and she drowned. And so finally one of the other little kids come running up to her daddy, my son-in-law, and said, Jaden's not moving. We don't think she's fooling around. So, of course, he ran over there. He said, I put both feet against that pool, Dad, and grabbed her hair and could barely get her free from the side of that swimming pool. But he said it was kind of too late. I threw her up on the deck. And me and a friend tried to do whatever CPR we knew. And it just got worse. And finally, shortening the story, finally the first responders came, you know, and they're working on her. And it's going on 5 minutes. I kept hearing the one emergency person kept saying to my son-in-law, there's no pulse, there's no breath, she's already turned color, she's cold, and other signs that happen to your body when you die. And she's laying on that deck. And I asked the responder later at the hospital, he said, I looked down, we did everything we could do, Reverend, for that little girl. We do this all the time. And I looked down, and you know, we watch our clocks for different things. And I looked down, and I'm looking at 5 minutes plus. And my brain is saying, even if she comes to, which she's not going to now, she'll have brain damage and other things. And then I started to, you know, push the signal that I'm going to have a dead on arrival. And I'm down there, and I lifted my hands off that little girl, and I looked to your daughter to shake my head no. And he said, your son-in-law screamed out a blood-curdling like I've never heard before. No, Satan, you cannot have my baby. We are tithers. God will rebuke you today. And that paramedic, not a Christian, he said, that I never seen it. He said, that little body jumped about that far right off that deck. Just jumped up, opened her eyes, and said, can somebody turn off the pool, please? That was her first word. They took her to the... You can clap once. Go ahead. That's a mighty miracle. That's a mighty miracle. They took her to the hospital, and the doctor's standing there. And when they arrived, and I'm there by now, and they arrived, and the doctor said, you know, they unload the ambulance, and little Jaden comes walking out. And the doctor's looking around. He goes, where's the girl that died, the drowning victim? And the emergency crew is going. And he said, no. I was called in because somebody drowned. He couldn't even say it. He just. So they checked her all out, said, well, there's nothing wrong. But they wanted to take her to the children's trauma thing, you know, the specialist. So they went over there. And they asked Jaden. They said, well, what do you feel? I mean, is there something wrong? Do you hurt? She goes, no, I'm like Jesus. I've been raised from the dead. Children's Church. Children's Church. That's Children's Church.
I've been teaching a series in church on tithing. And these are the notes that I've been using. My notes are just a little bit different from these television notes, but... this would be great, pastors, for you to take these notes, the series that we're doing, and just do a 5-week series on the tithe.
Do you suppose there's any pastors that don't tithe? I just had that thought.
Well,
they better shape up.
They better. You heard it here. Pastors, if you're not tithing... You know, you're right, Gloria, and I've heard stories before about pastors saying that, well, pastors don't tithe, the people tithe. Uh-uh.
Somebody made that up.
No, it's... yeah, somebody made it up. It says in Malachi 3, bring ye.
Ye.
And,
that's
and
right.
ye are he or her.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So we began this week on Monday talking about tithers' rights and how tithing is the foundation to prosperity. You can't grow spiritually if you're not a tither. And you can't fulfill the greatness of what God wants for you without tithing, without giving Him back the 10% that belongs to Him.
You don't want to be a God robber.
No, you don't. You don't want to be.
No.
Want to be a God robber.
Mm-mm.
So today, Gloria, what we're doing is today we're going to talk from Malachi 3:10.
Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to talk from Malachi 3:11. But today we're talking about the windows of heaven.
Oh, let's do
it. The windows of heaven. And that's one of the tither's rights. And read for us, Gloria, there, Malachi 3:10 there at the top of the page. Let's get started.
Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you. You do this, I'll prove myself to you. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Wow.
That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Have you ever known the Lord to exaggerate?
No.
I never have.
No.
Believe this. I fully believe this.
You just said. You were just reading that and you said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now.
Yeah.
Then you said, if you'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. And you said, and you do this, and He'll do that.
That's right.
How simple.
How simple it is. We never got anywhere financially until we faithfully became tithers.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't raised in a church. I never heard the word tithe when I was growing up.
Right.
So I had a long way to go. Now, Ken was, he was raised
he
in a Baptist church.
Yeah.
He knew.
He knew that. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not enough. You have to actually do it.
No, you have to do it. And again, you were just talking a moment ago about pastors not tithing. This, if you read through all through Malachi, it was the priests or the pastors that God was getting on. Because they were bringing the polluted bread upon the altar. They were bringing the blind for the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He said, is that not evil?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do the same thing. As a pastor, I tithe. I tithe on everything that comes into our household. So there'll be meat in the house, saith the Lord.
That's what you have. Everybody has to do, whether you're a pastor or not a pastor.
You need to tithe.
If you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want to be blessed, and you don't want blessing poured out on you and the windows of heaven open. You don't have to tithe.
The windows can be shut if you want them to be. But no, I want the windows of heaven open.
Oh, my, yes.
And Gloria and I have talked about this. You know,
let me say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's not just about money either.
Ooh.
I mean, it's about God being where you need Him to be. I was thinking about that little girl that got her hair caught in the drain of a swimming pool.
Yes.
In Mark Barclay's.
Yep.
Church, congregation, and she was drowning. Well, that one, it was not because they weren't tithing. It was that they had to have God on the spot right now. Her hair caught in the drain.
Yep, caught in the drain.
And the Lord saved her.
Yeah, and his son-in-law stood over the grandbaby.
Yes, that's right.
And said, we have tithers' rights.
That's why it reminded me of that.
We have tithers' rights. He said, we are tithers.
She was dead. She wasn't
breathing. She was dead. For 5 minutes, she was dead.
Yeah.
And she got raised up.
Praise
that was
God.
What a miracle that was. And when you are a tither, there's a confidence on the inside.
The windows of heaven are open.
Yeah, the windows are open all the time. They're open all the time. And there's such a confidence on the inside. I remember Kenneth saying this some years ago. You can come before any situation in the name of a tither.
That's right.
Do you remember that? The name of a tither.
I do remember that.
And that's what that son-in-law was doing. He came in that situation.
She was dead.
In the name of a tither.
That's right. That's good, George.
Wow. Well,
people,
Gloria,
get a hold of that. That's good.
What I did here is I broke this down in different pieces in studying that Malachi 3:10, So the first one here, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And if you look at point one under A, it says, okay, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. And I looked up the word storehouse. And the word storehouse in the Hebrew is the word depository, treasure house, or a magazine of weapons in God's armory. How about that one?
How about that?
How about that one?
Weapons.
A magazine of weapons in God's armory. So you bring your tithes into that storehouse.
What is one of the biggest enemies of anybody, Christian or not Christian, if they weren't acting on the word? Finances.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And that's
true.
This works where that's concerned. Sick, but if you ever had a sick child, you'd be a tither. Yep. You'd have tither's rights.
Tither's rights.
As Mark preached, and that little girl was raised from the dead.
Exactly.
Glory to God.
And then it talks about the meat, so that there is meat in my house.
Yeah.
And in the offer that we're giving this week, Brother Copeland teaches that meat is the spiritual revelation of the Word.
That's right. That's what we live on.
Yeah.
If we go to a dead church that doesn't preach the Word, we will not have faith if that's all we have.
That's right.
You can go to a dead church and then go to a live church.
Yeah.
But if you just go to a dead church and don't ever get anything, you're not going to have faith.
And you don't put your tithe in a dead work.
No.
That in Deuteronomy 26, all of Deuteronomy 26 is talking about how to handle the tithe, tithing the tithe. And one of the things it's talking about in there is don't put it in a dead work. Don't put it in something that's dead.
I forget how it's worded, but that's essentially what it means.
Yeah, not in something that's dead. Well, you're going to put your tithe in a place where you're getting fed.
That's right.
Where you're getting built up, where you're getting equipped in the Word of God, so that there is meat in His house, and that meat is spiritual revelation. Your tithe goes where the Lord has stored up wisdom and revelation
for you. And that's where your growth is.
That's where your growth is.
If you're going to a dead church, you're not growing. But this explains that meat is spiritual revelation of the Word.
That's what it is.
You go where you go in and you learn things about the Word, and it gets in your heart, and it stirs up your faith, and it makes you want to do what's right, what God says.
Would the people that come out here...
If you go to a dead church, nothing happens.
Well, the people that
come out here... You've got to have some word preached.
You've got to have some word preached, and that's why... As the pastor of this church, I study very diligently for the last 26 years pastoring this church. My Saturdays have been devoted to study and prayer.
Well, you can tell it, George.
I don't go out. I don't go places. That is a holy day.
Amen.
To be able to prepare. And actually, you know, I got this from Pastor Nichols, you know, before he passed away. What a tremendous pastor.
Yes. Precious man.
Just tremendous. And he just so fed me. And one of the things that he talked about is, this is true, when a pastor gets done with a Sunday morning message, he may take 5 minutes for a break, and then next Sunday's starting. Next Sunday's already working in me. It's already there. It's already, you get into a rhythm of that. And so here it's talking about that spiritual meat that people need to have. We need to take people, and that's the whole purpose of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, taking people from the milk of the Word
to the meat
of the Word, so they're able to stand on their faith and believe God and receive the things that belong to them.
Yes, thank God.
So, your tithe goes where the Lord has stored up wisdom and revelation for us. And right when I wrote that down, Gloria, the Lord gave me Proverbs 2:7. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. So, your tithe goes where you're being rooted, grounded, and established in the Word
of
God. That's where it goes.
Amen.
Now, in Deuteronomy 26:2, it says, take it to the place where the Lord your God has chosen. I thought that was very interesting. The place where you're going to be fed, the place where you're going to be built up, the place where the Word of God is going to be so alive in you, that's where it goes. In order for the church, or in order for this ministry, it really is a win-win situation, because you're bringing that tithe to a place that is producing the Word of God for you to be able to be successful in your life. On Monday, I read a testimony from a woman, a single mother who was having a hard time financially. Well, she started watching the Believer's Voice of Victory, our broadcast in particular, and it so lit a fire on the inside of her. Revelation started to come, and money came to her. She had no money, and money started coming to her. Well, see, that's the case in point for what we're doing here. We're producing the Word of God so people can be fed and built up. That's what the tithe goes for.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. And if you shut that off, if you shut off the valve of the Word, everything around us is going to dry up.
Wither, it'll wither.
So that's why the tithe is used for the production of the Word of God.
Amen. It's vital. We have to have it.
And that's
Don't quit, George.
No.
Don't quit.
And that's the first time I've ever said that.
Okay.
That the tithe is used for the production of the Word
that's
of God,
exactly
to get the Word
right.
of God out there to feed the people so that they can grow financially and they can grow in every way. They can
Good
be healed
job.
And delivered.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
So, woo. Wow. Then look at number four there. That says, prove me now. The Lord said, prove me. Prove me in this. It would be like me coming to you and saying, Gloria, I'd like, and this is many years ago, but we had a pastor at the church and the pastor was leaving and you guys were looking for pastors everywhere to fill that slot. And I finally came to you one day and I said, Gloria, why don't you let me coordinate the church? Coordinate.
That was smooth, George.
Yeah, that was smooth. You said, well, George, we're having a meeting with Kenneth in a couple of days. Why don't you tell him then what you want to do? So we went into the meeting. Well, between those 2 days, the Lord dealt with me. And we had the meeting. Kenneth got tired of the meeting that we were having, business meeting. So he got up. He was leaving the room. He stood at the door of his office. And you said, Ken, George has something.
I can hear it now.
George has something he wants to tell you. And Kenneth looked at me. And I just stared at him.
Did you think you were in trouble?
I stared at him. And he said, what? I said, I want to pastor the church.
I don't remember that.
He said, it's about time. And your jaw dropped. You were like, But basically, I was coming to you both and saying, let me pastor the church. Let me prove to you. Let me prove to you that I can do this.
Was it ever a great decision?
And so 26 years later, I'm still pastoring the church.
You're going to make it, George. You're going to make it.
Well, on the other hand, God's saying to us, let me prove it to you.
Yeah.
Let me prove to you that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. This in the Good News Translation, we're looking at number four. Little A, in verse 10, put me to the test and you will see.
Yes, amen.
When you tithe,
absolutely,
the Lord is saying, put me to the test. I'll show you what I can do. There is a whole new world for you available to the tither.
That's really what we did.
Yeah, I mean, you proved it.
When we learned about tithing,
exactly,
we really felt like we needed the money more than God did.
Yes, you did.
But we'd already decided that we're going to do what we saw in the Word.
Yeah.
And so we became tithers, and we became more prosperous and more prosperous and more prosperous.
Oh, praise God.
Glory to God. And as long as you'll do what the Word says and walk in faith,
that's right,
you'll keep getting increasing in your finances.
And the Lord said, prove me.
We said, well, we're going to do what? Are we out of time yet?
No, we got to go to the second
then
page.
We were into this. I mean, we were going for it. And we said, we're going to do whatever we see in the Word of God. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do.
And that's what you did with the tithe.
Yeah, but there was a step there in between. And then we saw in the Word where it says, owe no man anything but to love him. And it's, you know, Ken wanted an airplane, I wanted a house.
And where was that going to come from?
And how are we going to do that now with that money?
Yeah.
But you know what? We put it to the test. We put God's money in the church.
And the
we
blessing
worshiped Him with it, and the blessing came.
Okay. Well, I heard it this way. You put the money in, and the blessing came out.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Go to page 2. They've given us barely 5 minutes for this. So go to your second page, Gloria, if you would.
Okay.
And see how much of this we can cover in this little,
you can do it, George.
Little bitty space of time.
This is the last page. You can do it.
So it says there at the top, in this scripture, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And Gloria, the word windows in the Hebrew, it's the word floodgates.
Amen.
Floodgates. And I looked up the word floodgates, and a floodgate is the last restraint holding back an outpouring of something powerful or substantial.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, man. And then I looked up another definition of it, something serving to restrain an outburst. So when the windows of heaven are open, it's like a floodgate that opens up.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the dam breaking.
It's the dam breaking and the water just coming and flooding. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you look at point two, that is the very same word used when the earth was flooded in Genesis 7:11.
Is that right? Wow.
Floodgates. The windows.
Floodgates, yeah.
The windows of heaven, or the floodgates of heaven, were opened up. And what the Lord showed me about this, He will pour out a flood of blessing on the tither through the same windows He poured out the flood of water.
Praise God.
The floodgates have opened up. For the tither, it is a great flood of every kind of provision.
Praise God.
Now,
where does it say pour? Pour.
Pour. It's here in verse 10.
Pour you
10.
Out a blessing. Pour
it's
you out
Malachi 3:10, and it says, and He'll pour you out a blessing.
Now, then I see you've got here in the Hebrew, it's empty out.
Empty out.
Empty out a blessing. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Glory to
empty
God.
Empty out a blessing. That's
I
so
like
good.
That.
That is so good.
It
says,
is.
In this translation, I'll open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. In another one, NIV, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it.
Praise God.
And I like this quote down here. Look at this quote from Jerry. Don't let Satan's excuses keep you from faithfully honoring God with your tithes.
That's right.
The windows of heaven represent an outflow of God's blessing showering you in every part of your life.
Ooh, I like it.
It is God responding to our obedience to His Word. Why would anyone want to close those windows in
their life? I'm not going to close them. Praise God. Isn't
so,
that good?
2 minutes, Gloria. The last part down here, it says that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the ESV, the English Standard Version, says, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. No more need left.
No more need. Now, I like that. That's good. Instead of no more room.
No more need.
Everything's filled up.
And then the New American.
Everything's taken care of.
It's all taken care of. For the tither, it's all taken care of.
That's right.
I can come to the Lord in the name of a tither knowing my needs are met.
I'm going to write that down. It's all taken care of.
It's all taken care of.
Isn't that good, George?
The New American Standard Bible says, I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows.
Hallelujah.
Overflows. And then this International Standard Version, I will pour out on you blessing without measure. Oh,
praise
don't you like
God.
That one?
I do. Would you write a song about living in the overflow, George?
I will write a song about living in the overflow.
Thank you. I'd like to hear it.
I will make a note of that.
I'm sure you can do it. Living in the overflow, doesn't that sound good?
It sounds good. Now, I've got Gloria's page, and we'll include Gloria's page of her Bible from Malachi 3 in these outlines. But in her page written down here, it said, a flood of blessings can't be contained. Don't try to contain it. Let it go through you.
It will
pour out until there is no more in heaven. If necessary, we will create more. You wrote in your Bible notes here. This is God speaking. I will pour out until there is no more in heaven. If necessary, we will create more.
It doesn't say no more room. It just says no more.
It says no more room in the King James.
Oh.
But no more. This quote, I'm not sure where you got this quote from, but I like it.
Heaven empties out, in other words.
Yeah, heaven empties out. And I know that it's not going to be like this, but I can just see God pouring the blessing on us and then somebody saying, hey, we just ran out of such and such. And God going, well, just create more.
That's right.
Here it comes.
We've got more.
Praise God for the tithe, Gloria.
Praise God.
What we're going to be talking about today is the devourer is rebuked.
Yes, amen.
That seed eater, that one who tries to come in and steal and kill and destroy, He is rebuked, and the tithe is connected directly to that. Gloria, it's so good to be on the broadcast.
George, I've enjoyed listening to you and in reading with you.
Well, we've had such a good time. This is actually day 334. We've been doing...
And we're still
in
not
prosperity.
Tired of each other.
No, we're not. And you know, we haven't exhausted the subject of prosperity yet.
Oh, no.
I want us to at least hit 365. We need to at least have a year of prosperity. And all of the prosperity outlines are available to you. Just go to kcm.org and it'll take you to where all of these outlines, not just the ones we're doing for this series, but all of them that go right back to the beginning. Pastors, ministers, please, you can take these, download them. Gloria, we've had over 1.3 million downloads of the outlines.
Which one?
1.3 million downloads of all of the outlines that we've done combined. People have used those. I've talked to pastors that use them. Many of them use them for their offering time. So these are absolutely free to you, and you can print them out. As a matter of fact, if you print out a set, like for instance, pastors, you can use this series that we're doing right now and do a 5-week series in your church on tithers' rights. And you can print these outlines out and then print them at your church and then distribute it to every congregation member.
That's
and
valuable.
We won't charge you a cent for them.
That's right.
It's a total seed going into your life.
Yes, amen.
Gloria, we've been talking
about. We believe for the seed of revelation.
Seed of revelation. The harvest of revelation coming back. We receive that.
That's
well, today, we've been talking about this week, tithers' rights. And we've been talking about how important it is to tithe. Boy, Gloria, I've just been so stirred up about using every avenue that we have to be able to bring in the harvest and bring in the finances that are needed. There's so much to do here at the ministry, so much to do to fulfill the mandate of every available voice.
Amen.
And so it's going to take exercising our faith in the tithe and the results of the tithe, the tithers' rights, and calling in the harvest that belongs to us. And that's why it's so good as a pastor to go back to the congregation and remind them of these things. I think one of my greatest ministries as a pastor is I call myself the Great Reminder.
That's
because,
good.
Because I go back and I take things that we've studied before, the principles and the basics.
Don't let things slip.
No, you don't let... That's right. That's exactly right. You don't let it slip. You don't let it drift out to sea, but you've got to stay on top of it. And that's what I so appreciate about you and Kenneth. You guys just stay right on point, teaching the word of faith, teaching how the authority that we have as a believer, the healing schools that you have taught, thousands of healing schools, teaching people how
Praise
to be
God.
Well, how to be whole. Well, that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves about. I remember many years ago, I had the opportunity to be around Oral Roberts. And I would actually, for 14 times I met him at the airport to help him get from one gate to another. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he said, pastors are afraid to repeat their messages. He said, people don't get it right away. They have to have it spoken to them again and again. So that's what we're doing with the tithe.
Yeah.
And the foundation scripture for this is Malachi 3. And let me read to you what we talked about yesterday in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Praise.
Now, verses 11 and 12. I will, and it's there at the top of your page, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now Gloria, think about this,
George, is big.
Who said that?
That's
the
God.
The Lord said that.
The Lord said that.
He said that to you. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
For your sake.
What a wonderful thing.
Isn't that something?
Glory to God.
We have to really bear down on the revelation of that.
That's right.
And really take that. Really believe it. I'm a tither. I am a tither. I come before the Lord and I come before the devil. in the name of Jesus and in the name of a tither.
That's right.
I have tither's rights.
That's right.
And one of my tither's rights is that the devourer is rebuked.
Yes, amen.
So let's take a moment here and look at this. Gloria, if you look at point one there, take us through that. You were reading some of these definitions a little while ago where it says rebuke.
Rebuke.
In the Hebrew.
In the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Cripple, paralyze, and stop. That pretty much says it right
there.
That
does it.
That's what you need to do with the devil.
Yes.
Cripple him.
Cripple him.
Paralyze him. Yep. And stop him.
And one of the ways that we do that is by the tithe.
That's right.
By the tithe.
You know what? The tithe gives us position.
Ah.
What does the tithe do? Tithe blesses us, puts us in position to be victorious, to prosper. I hadn't ever thought about that before, but I think that's a good way to say it. The tithe puts us in position for victory.
The tithe puts us in position for victory. Got it.
Amen.
You said it right there. It puts us in a position.
Mm-hmm.
It puts us in a position of protection. It puts us in a position of provision. It puts us in a position of promotion. It's a setup.
It is.
It really is a great setup.
Praise God.
And it's
it's the blessing. It's the open door.
It is the blessing. It is the blessing.
Okay, the tithe puts us in position, a position to, what all did you say?
The tithe puts us in position for victory.
Victory.
To be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
To prosper. To be well. It really does. That's such a great way to put that, Gloria.
It is.
Thank you. It puts us in position. It gives us a place to be able to operate in such a higher, much higher level than we ever have.
That's right.
So when it says rebuke, that the devourer is rebuked, crippled, paralyzed, and stopped. And then look at this definition of a devourer. A devourer means in the Hebrew to eat, or it's the seed eater,
mm-hmm.
the crop destroyer. The consumer by fire, to burn up something, to waste something. That's what the devourer does. And he tries to come into our households and he tries to devour things. Like, for instance, a non-tither. And these are part of the tither's rights. But a non-tither, they'll have their washing machine break down. Well, they'll spend the money to get that done, and all of a sudden the car breaks down. And then this breaks down, and that breaks down, and this breaks down. What is that? That is the devourer in action.
That's right.
That's what he's doing.
That
he is
right.
Tearing apart everything. And the tither has rights, and one of those rights is protection from the devourer.
Amen.
And we can come in agreement together as tithers that the devourer is rebuked in my life.
Amen.
Are you a tither?
I am.
Well, that means that the devourer is rebuked in your life.
Amen.
I'm a tither. And that means that the devourer is rebuked.
That's not just finances. That's health.
Oh, yeah.
The sickness is rebuked.
Yes.
Devours your body.
Yes.
Strife devours your family and
your
other
family.
Things, your business and whatever.
We'll see a testimony at the end of this teaching time that we have talking about that very issue. The devourer tried to come in and destroy a family, but they claim tithers'
and
rights.
And we know who the devourer is.
We do.
And we also, if we know very much about the Word, we know that he's a defeated foe.
Yep. Yeah.
He's all smoke and all blow.
Oh.
I just wrote a poem, George.
He's all smoke and all blow.
Yep.
The devourer has got to go.
Yeah, that's right. The devourer is a defeated foe.
Excuse us while we're writing things down.
Yes, he's all smoke.
He's all smoke
and all blow.
And all blow. The devourer has got to go. We wrote a poem, Gloria. This may be our first poem that we've ever written.
I think so. Okay, I got to get the last line.
Yeah, yeah.
Devourer
has got to go.
Yes.
Got to go.
Got to go. I like that poem.
So the devil is all smoke and he's all blow. The devourer has got to go. If you're a tither, the devourer has got to go. Oh, I just added that in. If you're a tither.
If you're a tither.
Okay, he's all smoke and all blow, but if you're a tither, the devourer has got to go. I think we're writing a song right now.
If you're a tither. Okay.
If you're a tither. Now, the tither has rights. We have rights. And one of the rights that we have is this protection from the devourer. I'm going to quote to you something from Pastor Bill Winston from his CD series called The Power of the Tithe. One thing that is revealed in this scripture is that Satan is attracted to fruit. He would like to destroy the increase God brings into your life. Look at the things in your life that are growing and increasing. Your family, your ministry, your business, your relationship with God. These are some of the fruits or increase that are in your life. God promised us that Satan will not destroy our fruit and that he would give us divine protection.
Praise God.
So all of these areas, you're right, Gloria, when you say it covers it all, all of these areas in our lives are protected from the devourer. And I like what Kenneth says here. In point five, it says, if you're in a financial situation that looks bad, come against Satan according to this scripture. Use your privileges as a tither to combat and defeat him. Speak the word of faith and rebuke the devourer.
That's good.
So God rebukes the devourer, and so do we.
Yes.
We get in agreement with God when it comes to the devourer.
That's good, George. God rebukes the devourer.
And so do we.
Okay.
We have that authority as believers. So the devil gets a double rebuke, a double cripple, a double paralyze, a double stop.
Double whammy.
A double whammy. That's it. A double whammy. Very good. Well, this scripture goes on to say, Gloria, he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Amen. So if you look at point B, number one, down there in the NIV. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read those two scripture verses.
I will prevent pests from devouring your crops.
Mm.
Oh, pests.
Pests.
And then the message says, for my part, I will defend you against marauders. Which are thieves and robbers.
Yep.
Protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers. You want me to read more?
Yeah, go ahead.
The devil will take advantage of money that is not titled. In other words, it doesn't belong to him. Is it tithed?
Tithed, yeah.
I don't have my glasses tithed. On. Okay, it's not tithed.
Yeah, devil will
that's
take advantage
good.
Of
I
money
like
that's not tithed. Yeah.
I believe that. There will be a protection on money that's tithed.
That's right.
You'll have to spend it on one crisis after another until it's all used up. After the refrigerator needs repair, the car breaks down. Tithing is the barrier that stops the devourer from eating away
Praise
at our lives.
God.
Isn't that good?
Praise God.
That's
Which
good.
Includes our money, our possessions,
yes.
our investments, our time.
Tithers' rights.
Tithers' rights. And tithers' rights cover economic situations.
Yes.
They'll put you above and not beneath the economy.
That's right.
You'll be above the economy and not beneath the economy.
That's right.
And a good example of that is A.W. Copeland, Kenneth's dad. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he went through the Depression. He always had a good job. A.W. Copeland, granddad, always had a good job.
Faithful tither.
Faithful tither. He had his tithe account. Do you remember the tithe account?
Yeah, he did. He wouldn't mix his money and God's money.
Nope, he wouldn't.
He'd put his God's money over here, and then at the time, he'd take God's money and put it to work.
He'd do that. I remember that tithe account. But the Lord protected them during that depression time.
Yeah.
So that's what's available to us.
Praise
so if you
God.
Go to the next page, Gloria, we'll continue on.
I like it. Let's do it.
Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. I like what you said in your Bible notes, Gloria, the tithe protects the harvest.
Did I say that?
You said it. You wrote it. I've got it right here.
Is it in this?
It's there, but it's in your page, your Bible page.
Okay.
And I went digging. I literally went digging.
You must have dug deep.
I dug deep on that page.
Oh, that's on my King
that's
James.
On your King James Bible, yeah. So it protects the tithe. And listen to this. This is interesting. In the New Living Translation, that's point two, it says, your grapes will not shrivel before they ripe. Your harvest is protected.
What would make a grape shrivel? Heat?
Heat.
Pressure?
Pressure, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And when it says, neither shall you cast your fruit before the time in the field, Gloria, the word cast in the Hebrew means to miscarry.
Hmm.
Okay. Miscarried.
Is that right?
And so I found he's holding a 1 minute sign. Okay, we can do it. To miscarry. In Exodus 23:25, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be upon your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry
none.
Or be barren in your land. I will give you a full life span.
I'm going to highlight that.
Even where this is concerned, Gloria, on the tithe, and I just really had this in my heart as I was preparing this, just praying over women right now that you have miscarried before and you're carrying a baby right now and you've been in fear over that baby being miscarried. In the name of Jesus, as a tither, it says you'll not cast your fruit before the time in the field. In Jesus' name,
that's
you
right.
will not miscarry. That is a tither's
Dump
right.
Dump the fear.
Dump the fear.
Take on faith.
Take on faith. That's exactly right. Well, we want to show you a testimony right now of a couple who they went through something horrendous, but they stood on their tithers' rights and they believe God, and we'll just take a look at what God can
Praise
do for a tither.
God. Let's do it.
I went into the pool and then I saw steps and I stepped on the steps, and then there was no more steps, and then I fell and down, and then God, the angels brought me underwater and said, do not be afraid, and then they bring me back up to the water. So
there's five of us kids. My parents have 22 grandkids, and we decided in Christmas of 15, instead of doing Christmas presents, that we were all going to take a trip together. And we decided to go to Aulani, the Disney resort in Hawaii. So it was kind of a big deal. We were coming, you know, we're in four different states now between the five of us. We were coming from all different states and everyone was excited. We're in Hawaii, we're excited. And, you know, people were in the pool, people were at the restaurant, there was scuba diving, they're checking out the scuba diving, they were down at the ocean. I mean, we were all over the place. I was sitting by the pool with my sister-in-law, we were talking and the kids were playing, and Patrick came up to me and said that he needed to use the restroom. So I asked one of my older nephews, I said, will you take him to the potty? And I undid his life jacket. So he went to the restroom, he came back. Well, instead of putting his life jacket on, he went in a play area, you know, about maybe 12 inches of water or something. And I was sitting there and, you know, talking, and didn't put his life jacket back on him. Hmm. And about 20 minutes later, my two nieces came up to me and they said, a little boy just died in the Lazy River. And they said that, you know, he looked to be about Patrick's age, but they didn't think it was him because he didn't have the right color hair. And so, well, that made me realize that I hadn't seen him in about 20 minutes. We went on a search and we were looking for him, and he was looking and I was looking, and a cast member came up to me and said, you know, what's going on? And I said, well, I'm looking for my son. And they said, you know, what does he look like and what was he wearing? And I told them, and they said something over the radio, and another cast member came up. And when I looked in her hands, I realized that she had Patrick's shirt.
Shirt ripped up.
That they had cut off with scissors in her hand. And I realized at that point that that little boy that my niece saw was my son.
You know, just having the Word of God as a strong foundation, a pillar, is something that's prepared us for this situation. And I think that being in a strong Word of Faith church and being connected to Brother Copeland and being connected to the Word of Faith and having a man of God that loves God, that is teaching us the Word of God and embedding the Word of God in our spirit, that the Word of God came out of our mouths and out of our spirit when that happened.
Sean never deviated from speaking the Word of God. He never went into panic mode. All I remember is him saying, he will live and not die and declare the works of God. We're tithers, the devourer is rebuked from our life, and he would not deviate from anything but what the Word said. Right as we were walking up to the ambulance, they got him, he cried. They put a IV in him and he cried. And I heard him cry and I thought, oh my gosh, that's like the
best sound to hear.
that I've ever heard. And Sean and my dad got in a taxi that Disney provided and I rode in the ambulance with him. You know, Sean and my dad were on their way and they said to me, well, you can only have two people in the room. So, you know, who, when they get here, who do you want? I said, I'll leave. I said, not only is my dad, but he's my pastor, mm-hmm. and I need him in that room. Mm-hmm. And they came, and my dad laid hands on him. Sean laid hands on him. He didn't like the neck brace on his neck, and he just kept looking at me like, you know, what am I doing here? What's going on? And finally, the nurses and the doctors left the room for a moment, and my dad looked at me. He said, Patrick, if you just tell them your name, then they'll take the thing off. And he looked at my dad and he said in a very loud voice, my name is Patrick Ryan Hardesty. Okay. And
now tell the doctor that, right?
That's what my dad said. He said, okay, thank you. Can you tell the doctor that? And, you know, they ran all kinds of tests and they said, well, we're going to keep him overnight, but we cannot find any of these symptoms.
But we have to keep him there for 24 hours. But all the oxygen levels, everything was completely normal. It was a miracle. It was God's grace at work. You know, it makes no sense in the natural that he did not have any broken bones, that his oxygen levels should be off the charts, that he should not be alive, right? And so all of those things together, you know that God was involved, that his hand was at work.
No bruising, no bruising, water in his lungs.
No water in his lungs at all.
No brain damage.
Yes, and so you cannot deny that fact, that God was in charge, and that this was something that God's hand was on this.
He swims. He wants to be in the water. He wants to go in the pool. He doesn't shy away from it. He is a very active, very healthy young boy, and he's 100% whole.
It's a happy ending in the end.
Yes, and thank God for that.
Amen.
Pastor George is back with us. You know, he's got such good things to say. He has taught us about, I don't even know how many we've done together on finances, but we've done a bunch.
This is our 335th broadcast.
Really,
today.
George?
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Jesus?
Well, and all of this, of course, Gloria, all of this has come from listening to you and Kenneth over the years. You have really have inspired me in the study of this. I've just taken what you've done and put it into these outline forms.
You've done a good job.
And
now it's coming back to me.
Now it's coming back to you, exactly. This is part of your inheritance, so there you go.
I receive it.
But it is. It's so good to be on the broadcast with you and be on this week with you, talking about tithers' rights and all of these outlines, not just the ones we've been teaching here, but all of them that we've done since Gloria and I have been teaching together, all of those are available to you right now. Just go to kcm.org. And it'll take you over to the outlines where you can download them and print them, use them in Bible studies. They are absolutely free. Reproduce them if you want to. But just bless others with them. That's
Praise
the only thing.
God.
Bless
Amen.
Others with them.
I think you've earned a doctorate in prosperity.
I'll take that doctorate
okay.
in prosperity.
Okay.
Mylon called me.
And I'm your pupil.
Well, yeah, the teacher's sitting right here, I'll tell you. Yeah, Mylon called me. You said that to me on a broadcast some months ago, and Mylon called me after that broadcast, left a message on my phone because I wasn't home, but he left a message. He said, Pastor George, I just want to congratulate you on your doctrine of prosperity that Gloria conferred on you.
Hallelujah.
So, hey, I want to say something else before we dive into this. I was watching the video that you and Kenneth did. You did a short clip welcoming everybody into the new year. We sent it out on our social media and so forth. And so Kenneth is talking along, and he said a few things, and all of a sudden, you said two words. Two words.
Just two?
Two words. You said, look up. Look. Right in the middle of that, it was about a 20-second clip that you guys did. And right in the middle of it, you said, look up, because you were talking about 2019. Well, Gloria, yeah. when you said look up, I took that as a word from the Lord for
Praise
this year,
God.
This new year, 2019.
Amen.
You just said it. It just came out of you. And I thought, whoa, that's a word. Look up.
I see that. Yeah.
Look up.
Praise
so
God.
So I have a card on my desk at home.
Look up.
Look up.
I like it.
And so that's an encouragement to you. Look up.
Yeah.
Your redemption is drawing nigh. Look up. God wants to bless you. Look up.
If you're a tither, you are walking in tither's rights.
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about, that's tither's rights. So let's look at our scripture here.
That's good.
Today, Gloria, we're talking about the blessing of increase. And I'll read these scriptures and then I'll tell you how this particular day came about.
Okay.
In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says in the King James, honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, you said right before the broadcast, you have another word for the word substance, and it is with whatever you have.
That's right.
Whatever you have, whether large or small, if you honor the Lord with whatever you have, that's the Gloria Copeland translation.
Seemed like I saw that somewhere in the scripture where they were, you know, one of the newer translations. Mm-hmm. But that's
right.
That's
so true. I mean, whatever you have.
If you've got a dollar,
yeah.
Then honor the Lord
then
with
honor
a dime.
Honor the Lord with the tithe of it, yeah.
And it works.
It does work.
Just like it was $1 million.
Exactly.
It's not the size of the gift. It's the heart that's behind it. You're sowing 10% of whatever it is.
Yep. And it goes
blessing.
It goes with the scripture that we started with on Monday, talking about being faithful in the little things.
Yes.
You'll be faithful in
that's
the large.
Right.
If you're faithful
that's
with a
the
dollar,
way you grow.
You can be faithful with $1 million.
That's right.
That's good, Gloria. That's really good.
Okay. With your last dollar.
Yeah.
If you got lots of dollars, that wouldn't be true.
Yeah.
But it's, if you're faithful with that last one you've been hanging on to.
Well, like you said, you can't afford not to tithe.
No, you can't.
Can't. Mm-mm. So if you honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all that increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And your presses, I just thought, plenty. Plenty of what? Plenty of whatever you need.
That's right. That's abundance, in other words.
Abundance. And your presses shall burst out with new wine. Would you read the Amplified on there, number 2?
Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine.
Praise God. There's the overflow. Now,
and then I have a quote by myself.
Let me quote your quote, because this is where this message was birthed.
Okay.
I was working on the messages, these preparation. Some weeks ago, and I was right in the middle of it. I got so excited, I called Gloria. And I said, listen to what I found on tithing. So we're talking back and forth about this, and Gloria says, oh, something just came to me. And she said this, God wants our first and our best. No, I'm sorry, we tithe the first and the best. Uh-huh. The blessing of increase is on the rest.
That's exactly right, too.
And you said it, and I had to run to the other room with my phone to get a pencil and paper because I was in another room, and wrote that down. We tithe the first and the best. So as a result of that, the blessing of increase is on the rest.
That's right. I believe that.
That's a revelation right there,
Praise
Gloria,
God.
That we need
Amen.
To know and we need to have. And
Thank
then Bill Winston, in the Power of the Tithe series he did, God wants our first and our best. Why? Because He's going to give us His best. If you sow your best, you're going to reap your best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He wants our best because He's going to make us like Him.
I may have been reading something
of
Bill's when I saw that, when I got that.
It could be.
But at any rate, it's good.
Well, God, if we tithe the first and the best, like Gloria said, then the blessing of increase. The blessing of increase is on the 90%.
That's right.
The blessing of increase is on our lives.
That's right.
I think about this all the time, that the residual effect of the tithe covers everything. Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Sometimes when I drive
Opens
out here.
Opens doors.
It does. It
gives
does.
Gives you opportunities, all kind of things.
When I drive out here and I round the corner of the runway, and I look at here in Texas, I mean, you can just see the wide open spaces, and I get to see the whole property. And I look up and I see the sky over it, and I think about the tithe. The windows of heaven
Praise
are over God. This ministry
That's
because
true.
We're a tithing ministry. And
Amen.
Everything we set our hands to is going to be blessed.
That's right.
Everything we set our hands to is going to prosper.
Amen. It's true.
And that's where the blessed, like Gloria said, the blessing of increase is on the rest. And then I wrote down here in number 5, give God what is His and He will increase everything that is yours.
I like that, George. That's a good quote.
You give God what belongs to Him, the tithe, the 10%, He will increase everything that is yours.
That's right.
And we have to have a mentality
of that. What is prosper? What is prosperity? That's where prosperity comes from.
That's true.
And He'll increase your prosperity.
Yes, He will. Yes, He will. And in verse 10, it says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine."
Amen.
Oh, what a scripture. I was listening to Pastor Bill Winston teach on this, and he said this in number one. He said the Old Testament was an agrarian culture. Agriculture was their primary medium of exchange and income. So that's why he's saying the barns.
Mm-hmm.
The barns will be filled with plenty. The presses shall burst out with new wine. And then it's point two here.
I like that point two. That's good.
Present day barns would be our bank accounts. And I quote Gloria from her book on hidden treasures. She said, "Whatever you consider as your storage place, God says it will be filled with plenty."
Yes, I still believe that.
The Word says storage places, so expect big. I like that. That's a gloriousm.
That's
right
good.
There.
That's out of hidden treasures.
I like that.
Praise God.
That's excellent. So our present day barns would be bank accounts, or they they would be investments that we've made. A tither cannot lose.
That's right.
And you know, Terry and I have made investments over the years. Some have produced, others hadn't. But I'm a tither.
Amen.
I'm a tither. And even though maybe we made a mistake about investing in this thing or that thing or another thing, that money's protected. The devil cannot steal from us. And from time to time in church, the Lord will have me pray over the congregation that if they have lost money in investments, let's get it back sevenfold. If
Amen.
The devil has stolen from them, the tither can call that back in sevenfold.
Praise God.
Get that back in.
Amen.
So we won't fail.
That's good.
We will not fail.
Oh, no.
So, and now this one, Gloria, I have a set of books at home from John Gill. John Gill wrote a commentary called The Exposition of Old and New Testaments. So I ordered the whole book set. Now you can get it online. You can look it up. But I wanted the books. I wanted those old-looking...
Oh, me too. We're book people.
We're book people. I wanted those books on my shelf. So I looked up this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, that we just read. And listen to what he says in here. "Your barns will be filled with plenty of corn, so there will be a sufficient provision of bread for the ensuing year and of seed for the sower when the time of sowing returns." That's abundance.
That is.
That's abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said...
That's planning ahead, too.
Planning ahead, exactly. Said, "Instead of being losers by honoring the Lord with their substance, they should be gainers."
That's
by
right.
It.
Absolutely.
You and I are gainers.
We are.
We are gainers.
Yes.
"And instead of having less, they should have abundantly more."
That's good. I
That's
like
the
that.
Promise
I
of
need
the
to
tither.
Get that exposition of Old and New Testament. Where do you see that, Brecken?
And this John Gill exposition of the Old and New Testament, and it's so funny because it's the books themselves, the type is so tiny that you have to just really dig it out of there, but it's worth it. When you go mining for gold like this, listen to what else he said about this scripture. "As the former clause denotes plenty of eatables," talking about your barns being filled with plenty, "so this of drinkables."
Eatables and drinkables.
Drinkables. So there's the new wine right there. "And both fullness of all sorts of provision promised to the liberal man."
To the liberal man.
To the liberal man.
The man who sows, the man who gives.
Gives, exactly, exactly.
That's good,
isn't
it?
So aren't those good, though, Gloria?
Yeah.
How they expound the whole meaning of this scripture about honoring the Lord with your substance. And really, honoring the Lord, we honor the Lord with our tithe.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
It's an honor.
After all, He gave it to us. He gave us the 100%.
And then we present it back to Him.
We sow 10% back into Him.
Exactly.
I don't think of the word right now, but which encourages, increases, which makes a way for the increase.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Because you've acknowledged him.
It does. It puts you in position. It qualifies you.
Position's good.
For that abundance that he has for us. And this scripture, we use this all the time. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled.
Filled.
Bank accounts being filled. If you're a tither, your bank account, and it is the will of God for you to have a reserve.
Your barns will be filled with plenty.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Plenty. And Deuteronomy 28 in the blessing talks about God blessing you in your storehouses.
Yeah.
Our storehouses are blessed. So in point four, if you look at point four at the bottom of the page, I used this commentary again of the Old Testament. Now, this commentary, this was based on Malachi 3.
I like that. That's
As a good. Result of our tithing, we will break through into overflow. Receive that. How about
That's
you?
Right. I
receive
that.
I receive the overflow.
People think, you know, people, natural thinkers are dangerous.
Yes.
They think, well, I don't even have enough now. If I tithe, I won't have enough for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why you don't have enough now.
You're not
given God opportunity
right.
to come in
That's
and
right.
work on your money.
That's right. And this last one at the bottom of the page, this is Gloria Copeland again from Hidden Treasures. Tithing is the way to never go without.
That's right. I believe that.
Instead, you'll watch your storage places fill up with plenty until they overflow with good things. Gloria, that's great.
I like that.
That's a great quote from you.
That is good.
Now, if you go to your next page, Gloria, I'm going to read this.
Okay.
And
next page.
I've shared this before, and this is from a book and a documentary called God is My Landlord. And Gloria,
I've never seen that.
God is My Landlord. It is.
Let me get my highlighter.
Stand by.
I may need this.
You may need the highlighter.
Okay.
Okay, there's a book on this that people can order. There's also, as a matter of fact, Carol Hill, she blessed me. This is the book.
Oh.
This is the book.
Praise God.
So she ordered this for me. You can get it online. Amazon has
it. He's pastor where?
He doesn't pastor, but listen, we've told this story before, but the other day I was looking up the book online and found a documentary. Now, it's a 45-minute documentary that was produced in 1947.
Really, George?
And they interviewed several people about the tithe at the beginning of this little documentary. And one of the people they interviewed was R.G. Letourneau.
Oh,
R.G. Letourneau.
I've heard Ken talk.
I've never heard
Ken's
him speak
dad,
before.
He was just a.
So what I'm going to do for you and Kenneth is I'm going to get the YouTube and then make a DVD copy so you guys can watch it.
Great.
It's amazing. But this is the story of it. Listen to the story of this. The book and documentary tell the story of a Christian man named Perry Hayden. He ran his family's flour mill. When the mill was on the verge of bankruptcy in 1936, Perry consistently paid his tithes. As a result, the mill was saved.
Praise God.
On a Sunday morning in 1940, Perry heard a guest minister preach a sermon in his church about tithing. His scripture verse was John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. When the service was over, Perry made a remarkable statement. I'm going to take God at His word. It was wheat planting time in Michigan, and Perry decided to plant 1 cubic inch of wheat, 360 kernels, and see how much was much fruit. He would tithe the first 10% and then plant the remaining harvest. He committed to do this for the next 6 years. Now, Gloria, let me interject something here on this. This was not just some obscure man out here doing this. This gained the attention. Eventually, it gained the attention of the nation.
Wow.
They did a story in Life magazine on this man. Henry Ford himself got involved in it. It was huge. Gloria, when they got to the fifth year, thousands of people were coming out for the harvest.
Henry Ford was bringing his old combine equipment that he had made 20 years before. He was using it. He was part of this. It was not this small thing. It was huge.
Wow.
And the nation, they actually had in Michigan, the governor called for a national tithe day, a tithe celebration day. The governor.
Praise God.
This is huge.
Wow.
Well, let me go back to this. He committed to do this for 6 years. In the first year, it took a 4-foot by 8-foot plot of land to sow 1 cubic inch of seed. It was the smallest wheat field in the world. At harvest time, Perry carefully scraped the ground to get every kernel of wheat. Every precious seed counted. The first year produced a 50-fold harvest. There was much fruit. Now, Gloria, when I get this YouTube video for you, you will see all of this.
That's great, George.
You'll see them.
I'm so glad you found that.
They documented this on film.
Every precious seed counted.
He tithed 10% and then he sowed the rest. In the second year, it took a 24-foot by 60-foot plot of land to sow the seed from the harvest of the first year. It took 16,200 kernels to plant the second crop, which was 45 times larger than the first one. He tithed the 10% and he sowed the rest.
Well.
In the third year, it took nearly an acre to sow. Weather threatened the crop. Prospects for the successful harvest were very slim. Henry Ford personally attended to view the harvesting of the crop.
Isn't that something?
He took out a well-worn New Testament from his pocket and read John 12:24 to some children, remarking, "Here's the word, there's the wheat." Oh. This is Henry Ford, Gloria.
He said that.
Henry Ford said that. And I'll tell you something else that Henry Ford said. With this project, this tithe, they called it the tithe experiment. The tithing experiment. And Henry Ford said, and I quote him, "Out of everything that he did in his lifetime, this was the most important thing."
Isn't that something?
Helping in the tithe. Isn't that something?
It is. That's great. What kind of experiment?
The tithing experiment. Well, Henry Ford said, "Here's the word, there's the wheat." All involved picked up every kernel of wheat. He tithed 10% and sowed the rest on a 14-acre field of Henry Ford's land. In the fourth year, now I'm at the bottom of page 2 still. In the fourth year, it took 14 acres to sow. Bushels instead of handfuls of kernels were sown.
Bushels.
Okay, now day 3 at the top. The fourth crop produced 379 bushels. 1 cubic inch of wheat had now grown to 1 million.
Oh.
He tithed 10% and he sowed the rest. In the fifth year, it took 230 acres to sow. The fifth year, fifth harvest amounted to 5,555 bushels. Perry tithed the 10% and he sowed the rest. In the sixth year, the final harvest required 2,666 acres and amounted to 72,150 bushels of wheat.
Oh, that's quite an increase, wasn't it?
360 kernels had turned into 55 billion. And the largest yield was only 50-fold. The last harvest was valued at $150,000 in 1946. The amount today would be $2,031,791.
What a story.
The experiment worked.
What an experiment.
God can bless our harvest when we tithe. And the harvest from the last year's harvest, this was at the end of World War II. They took that last year's harvest and sent it overseas to feed the hungry in Europe.
Is that right?
Isn't that something?
That is awesome.
And I'll end this, Gloria, with a quote from you. Tithing is the open door to the blessing. And it's the blessing that God set forth that is going to meet your needs, give you what you need, bless you, keep you well, and keep you prosperous.
Praise God.
Our tithing opens that door for God to move supernaturally.
Yes, amen.
Tithing keeps the door open when you do it in faith.
Hallelujah.
Gloria,
what
a time we've had this week.
This has been so
good,
George.
Praise God.
We must do this more often.
Yes, we must. and indeed we will.
George and I'll be right back.
Study notes from the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast are available free.
Download them at kcm.org/notes. To get the whole set of study notes, log in, select the broadcast week, and then click download. Receive the study notes onto your desktop, print them to use for your Bible study, or even to follow along with the speaker on the broadcast. Empower your life with the Word of God at your fingertips. Download your free study notes today.
What does it mean to tithe?
What does the Word say about tithing today?
Where should I give my tithe?
What's the power behind tithing?
Is there any benefit to it?
How do you actually tithe?
Do we have to tithe?
The answers to these questions and more are found in The Tithe, God's Invitation to Financial Freedom audio series by Kenneth Copeland. Brother Copeland teaches the biblical principles that explain God's perspective of the tithe. This series is available on MP3 disc or as a digital download. God desires to bless His people, and tithing is the open door.
He's going to give you seed you can plant, but the planting of it activates the covenant between you and Him.
Tithing is not an obligation. It's an opportunity, an open invitation for the Lord to come in and bless you. Open the flow of heaven's bounty into your life today. Discover the key between your tithe and financial freedom. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 and request your free copy of The Tithe, God's Invitation to Financial Freedom on MP3 disc from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
The Lord is the source of your entire life. And living in supernatural Amen. Abundance, it takes one thing, a beginning, and that beginning is making Jesus the Lord of your life.
Amen.
And when you do that, Gloria, like you've proved it, I've proved it, to be able to receive Him, that's the beginning of prosperity. That's the very start of it all.
Oh, yeah. That's where it is.
That's where it is.
Supernatural prosperity.
And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your life took a turn. And I think about this myself. I was thinking about this the other day about how I was talking to somebody about working here for 42 years and how I never thought this is what I would be doing for my life.
42 years ago.
And what a blessing. I told somebody the other day, I've gone so far beyond what my vision ever was. I've gone so far beyond that. The Lord has taken me, and that's what He'll do with you. Uh-huh. He'll take you on a journey with Him. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life,
yes.
Today is your day. Let Gloria and I lead you
yes.
in this confession
Praise
of faith,
God.
And He'll take you on a supernatural journey. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive Jesus. As my Lord and my Savior.
As my Lord and my Savior.
Take my life.
And do something with it.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for your abundant life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now, we want to send you some information. We have a book here written by Kenneth and Gloria. He did it all for you. And we've got brochures about how you can study the Bible
yes.
and how you can begin your walk of faith. A walk that will never disappoint you and Praise. Will take
and
you.
And it grows. It gets better.
It
and
does.
Better.
It grows and grows and grows. Gloria, what an honor it is to be able to lead people
Praise
to
God.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, George, it changed everything in our lives.
My goodness.
Starting with our spirit. Next
yeah.
was our finances.
And your finances. Yes, it,
it works. Hallelujah. Continue to grow spiritually. Read your Bible. Find a church that preaches the Word to you. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
Good friend of mine, ministering to a farmer. I mean, that cotton crop was gone. It was over with, man. The crop came up. Bowls never did open. And they're just, you know, hard as little pine knots. And that is the end of it. It just wasn't going to do anymore. And he stood on his tithe. Claimed his tithing rights. And Brother Williams was praying with him. And he said that field looked like, he said it looked like popcorn popping. God supernaturally brought that harvest in. And it was done for. It was over with. Other people just plowing it under. but not this man because he claimed his tithing rights. Pa 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 pa. They stood there and watched that field. Amen. That's another form of multiplying your seed sown. Because in this case, that's the sower and the reaper walking side by side. Hallelujah.
It's offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. And first of all, Gloria and I want to thank all of you partners who have been so faithful.
Yes,
in giving into the ministry and helping us accomplish what needs to be done here. We're able to do what we're doing today because
That's
of the
right.
partners' faithful giving. We're able to get the Word of God all over the
Thank
world.
Thank you, partners.
Yes, absolutely. And we pray for you. You need to know that you're being prayed for every
Praise
single
God.
Day. We have a prayer team on property here right now, and they revolve in and out, praying for our partners,
Praise
praying
God.
For you and Kenneth, praying for the ministry.
We want to hear some good testimonies, too, from our partners.
We want to know how is God blessing you and what is God doing in your life. Send us your testimonies.
Yes.
And today on this offering day, it says in 2 Corinthians 9, talking about in verse 6, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And we do that every man according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Praise God.
And let me tell you what the result is to your giving in the Amplified Bible of verse 8, one of my favorite all-time scriptures. God is able to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to you so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and
amen.
Charitable donation.
One translation says, always having.
Always
Isn't
having.
That good?
I like that. So, Father, we pray over our partners in the name
yes,
of Jesus
Lord.
And thank you that as they give
thank
into
you.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries today, that it's coming back to them,
always
good measure,
having.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over
yes,
shall men
amen.
Give into their bosom. Thank you that
Hallelujah.
They're living in the overflow
Praise
and they are blessed beyond measure. In Jesus'
in
name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That's a good confession to say all the time. Always having.
Always having.
We're always having. Good. We're tithers and we're always having. Hallelujah.
I'm writing it down right now.
If you missed any of the broadcasts this week, watch them free on KCM.org or KCM's Roku channel. Go to church this weekend. Jesus is coming soon and I'm ready. This is Gloria Copeland and George Pearson reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.
We just finished 2 weeks with Dr. Caroline Leaf is teaching us how to create a lifestyle of faith in God and the science of love.
Praise God.
I love it. The science of love.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
This is my preaching buddy for 50 years.
50 years.
50
Man,
years.
Man, we must have started when we was three.
And 2019 is going to be the biggest year ever. We're a team again. We're going to preach together all year long, 2019. And if you miss it, it's your fault. We want you to be there.
April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, U.S. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 13th through 15th, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California, USA. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.